in 2025, how can we use the fact that the mission period is coming in 2026 to turn up the temperature under mission?
Right.
And that might be in the way that we, you know, choosing a sermon series that is going to help in that. It might be thinking about how we're going to be praying through 25 for ongoing evangelism and for the 26th mission.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I am the Head of National Ministries for the FIEC, and I'm joined today by Nick McQuaker. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Adrian.
You are the Ministry Director for A Passion for Life. Have I got that right?
That is correct.
Good. I'm always worried that I'll get people's titles wrong. Can't remember my own, let alone other people's. So it's great that you're with us here, and we're here to talk about Life 2026. Just give us a little potted history of A Passion for Life and the missions that there have been. When did it all kick off?
So it kicked off with a mission in 2010.
Okay.
So A Passion for Life was born
when you and I were a bit younger.
We were younger.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. I often find myself, at a leaders gathering or some meeting, looking out at the room, talking about 2010 and thinking, some of you were quite small children
yes,
in 2010.
Yeah, Joel, our producer, didn't have a beard in 2010. He couldn't grow a beard in 2010. That's how long ago it was.
So the 2010 mission grew out of the regional gospel partnerships,
yep.
Which had been growing up across the country mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. the sort of 10 years before that.
Yep. Not everywhere, were they?
Not everywhere. Not everywhere.
In many places.
In many places. So by 2010, there were a number of partnerships. And the idea was just to do in the month before Easter 2010, that there would be a nationwide mission under a common banner. So it was called the A Passion for Life mission. Mm-hmm. And with 2010... there was a very strong emphasis on sort of working in partnership in the regions.
Yes, yep, yep.
And there were sort of relatively high-profile evangelists were allocated to the regions.
I remember going to an event in London. I was in London at the time,
yep.
A jazz event with a talk from Rico Tice afterwards, lots of churches yep. joining together to support it, that kind
yep,
of thing.
Yeah, So... in a region, a number of events will be put on,
yeah.
and their
yeah.
high-profile yeah. speaker was sort of driven yes. around to yeah. to speak at the events. And
so events-driven, really.
It was events-driven. I think, so a good number of hundreds of churches got involved with the 2010 mission. So another mission followed in 2014. And I think it was much...
It's a bit like the Olympics, comes around every 4 years.
Every 4 years.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
a good cycle.
Okay, yeah.
yeah. So another mission 2014 with much more of the emphasis on just local churches doing things.
Right.
So less the big regional events, more local church focused. Mm. A greater number of churches got involved. More churches in Scotland, I think, got involved in 2014, if I remember rightly. And there wasn't the same emphasis upon having an evangelist allocated to the region.
Right, okay.
And I think there was a recognition that that in 2010, with those sort of larger events, Christians went because the name of the speaker meant something to them.
Right, okay.
Yep, but that yep. was not really a draw for the non-Christians because yes. they had no idea who these people
yes,
were.
Yes, I say to my neighbour, come and hear Glenn Scrivener. Is he an Australian cricketer? Or, you know,
exactly.
They don't mean anything, do they, to people
no,
outside?
No. So, I mean, we value these people. We value their
gifting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And their ability to communicate the gospel.
Yeah,
but then we need to recognise their name is not a draw yeah, to the non-Christian. Yeah. So there was a mission in 2014. Then the whole thing, there were sort of aspirations to do 2018, but it didn't happen. And 2020, but that didn't happen. Then ahead of...
Something was going on in 2020. I can't remember
In the Lord's goodness and providence, there wasn't a mission planned
yeah,
for 2020.
Yeah,
yeah, would have been, March, it would have been the month that these missions have always been the month before Easter. Yeah, yeah. If we'd been planning a mission in March 2020, we would just have completely had the rug pulled from under it by COVID. What was actually happening in March 2020 was a small group of us were beginning to talk about doing a mission in 2022.
Right.
and
which became Life 22.
Became Life 22.
Yeah, yeah. And tell us a little bit more about Life 22. Well, I'll tell you about it first of all from my point of view, and you can tell me if I've got it right or not. Right. So I was, where was I? Life 2022. Well, I was here, of course, in Market Harbour. My sense was, it was more organic still, more about churches rather than organisation. So that transition you've described, it felt more sort of bottom up. Lots more central resources to train us and equip us. That's certainly how it felt. Yeah. We watched some of the videos in small groups. Is that right? Have I got that right?
That's right, I think, yes. So the whole sort of ethos of the mission was not to dictate from the centre what should happen or even organise from the centre, but just encourage churches to use that period to have a mission focus using the life theme. Mm. So mission resources that would help to sort of advertise events on the life theme and a whole sort of campaign of life. It's closer than you think. Mm. Find life that lasts.
Yep.
And as you say, Adrian, the training emphasis. So a lot of work was put into producing a suite of 21 video-based training modules that could be used by churches. And I think, so the focus of those training resources was on personal evangelism.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of them very focused upon sort of a biblical understanding of the gospel, biblical understanding of evangelism. Others, a very practical focus on how to have conversations with people and so forth.
We use them as a pick and mix. Were we right to do that?
Right,
we basically said, which ones are the ones we need help with? And we chose those.
So we thought of it as a sort of a menu where you could pick up off the menu what was most suited to the local church.
Good, I'm glad we were doing the right
thing. You're doing the right thing. So I know of churches. I know of churches that work their way systematically through all 21.
Okay, well, brave.
And other churches just did three or four.
Yeah.
And that was it. So I think that was, in a sense, one of the sort of distinctive things about these resources. Rather than being a course where you had to do sessions 1 to 4
yes,
or 1 to 6,
yeah.
It recognized that churches have different needs.
Yeah, they're in different places.
Different places.
Yeah, yeah.
Some churches may have a very thorough understanding of the gospel biblically, but actually are not in a great place in terms of their connection to the local community.
Yeah, yeah.
Other churches might have much stronger community connections, but actually less clear on the gospel. Mm. So churches have different needs. So it gave the opportunity for leaders to pick out what they thought would be most helpful, or it could be different resources used in different groups in the church.
Those resources are still all on the website,
aren't they? They are still on the website, yes.
Yeah, so they're there to use. They're not dated. They're only four years old.
Just a few weeks ago, I had a communication from a church that is still using those resources. And in fact, this was a church where they said, we set out to do 5 or 6 of them, but they're so good, we just kept on going, and we're going through all 21.
Yeah, well, there you go. Let's just stay with 2022 just for a brief moment. How many churches engaged with that?
So something over 800 churches.
Wow, great.
And again, a step forward from 2014 was, I think, greater involvement by churches in Scotland.
Right.
So more churches in Northern Ireland and Wales getting involved. Some of those training resources were translated into Welsh. So it really was a UK-wide mission. There were even about 30 churches in Australia that signed up.
There you go. Now, can I just play the useful idiot a moment? What's the benefit in doing something at the same time? So, I mean, that's always been the kind of... I can see that if you're planning events together. So Life 2010, I can see that. You know, we're planning things together. Of course, we need to be doing stuff at the same time. But when it becomes more organic at a church level, what's the value in, you know, having a Life 2024? Or, well, it's not Life 2022, Life 2022, Life 26, as it's going to be. But what's the value in doing something all at the same time, Nick? Mm-hmm.
So I think if we're doing something at the same time under a sort of common banner with a common mission theme, then I think there are a number of advantages. There's just the encouragement of being part of something bigger.
Yeah, of course. That's always true, isn't it?
Across the country, we're making Jesus known in this sort of concerted, focused manner. We're together
people
in
are praying
this,
for this.
We're praying. Yeah, so, yeah. As we look ahead to 2026, we are going to be starting some monthly online prayer meetings, so we can just begin to pray across the nation. Doesn't matter where you live, you can join by Zoom, and we'll pray together.
I'm not saying don't do anything until then.
No. So we'll be praying. We will, as we meet monthly to pray, we'll be praying about ongoing evangelism.
Yeah.
But we're also looking ahead to 2026, and it will build that sense of being part of something together.
Yeah.
And there's encouragement in that. Then I think there's also sort of the idea that a rising tide lifts all ships.
Right. I grew up by the sea, so that means a lot to me, that illustration. Yes, it does. Yeah.
So it's one I've found helpful. So there are, some churches, in terms of their evangelism, they're at sea, they're motoring ahead, they're getting on with it. But there are other churches which... that they're much more like sort of the boats that are stuck on a sandbank. And the church leader might be sort of trying to drag the church into the water to get moving on evangelism. And if he can say, hey, this thing is happening across the nation, there's going to be some great resources. Let's be part of this.
We're not the only ones.
It can really help. And as I sort of took up the role I had a year ago and began to travel around, and meet up with church leaders, one of the things that most encouraged me, sort of following my previous involvement with Life 22, was just the stories of church leaders saying, being involved in the 22 mission really got us started on evangelism.
Right. Okay.
And we've been pressing ahead with more evangelism.
Gives you something to aim for.
Yeah.
Stake in the ground. However you want to describe it, yes.
So it got us going. There's a legacy of ongoing evangelism by being part of the nationwide mission. And then I think the third thing is it just allows, if we work together under a common banner, we can have a bigger impact.
Why is that, do you think? Or how does that come about?
Well, I think in a number of ways. So for one thing, if you think about... imagine if where somebody goes, where they go to work, where they go shopping, where they take the kids to school, where they hang out for their leisure time, everywhere they go, they're seeing something about life. It can just raise that level of sort of intrigue and interest. What is this life thing? And then if a Christian friend that they know starts to talk to them about it, it's something that they've already been seeing.
So the commonality of the branding, for example,
can be powerful.
Yes.
And the fact that we all know people who live in different parts of the country. So the non-Christians that we have, family, friends, contacts that we have maybe in different parts of the country, and if a life event is happening near them, we can direct them to that life event. And there's just that sort of national impact of doing something all together at the same time with that common brand.
Yeah. What's the place too in doing something nationally in this way for the sharing of ideas? There's something there as well, isn't it? It's not just the feeling that I'm not on my own.
Yeah.
It's actually learning from others.
That's right.
Picking up on their experience. And especially, I think, hearing about things that are achievable in the local church. I get frustrated when I go to evangelism events and I hear about... frustration is not the right word. You hear about something that's extraordinarily complex and one-off, and amazing things have happened. Half of my heart is rejoicing and half of my heart is sinking, because I'm thinking, on the one hand, praise the Lord, people are being saved, people are being reached and all the rest of it. On the other hand, I can't do that, Lord. So actually there's something powerful about the sharing of achievable ideas, isn't there?
Exactly. During the 26 mission, we will be sharing stories of what is happening. Of course, by then for that mission, it might be a bit late.
But what
we can do in the build-up is actually share stories from Life 22 and other things that churches are doing, which they're finding effective. And as we share those stories, it can help us have those practical ideas, those workable ideas for the 26 period and beyond.
So 2026, when's Easter in 2026?
So the month before Easter is basically March.
Okay, so March 2026. That still seems like a long way off.
Yeah.
Between now and then, I've got a few other things to think about in church life.
Yeah.
So why should I be beginning to think about Life 2026 now, Nick?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I think there are some churches that do actually map out what they're doing in terms of sort of missions and so forth on quite a, you know, they do look ahead.
Yes, not ours, I'm afraid. I imagine I'm more typical than not, aren't I?
No, but just as, I mean, so just thinking about that four-year cycle.
Yes.
There are a number of churches that actually find operating with a sort of a two-year cycle
okay.
of doing some sort of mission focus every couple of okay. years okay. does actually work for them. Getting 2026 in the mind so that they can sort of fit in with that rhythm or their rhythm will fit in with 2026 yep. can be helpful. But also, what we will want to do is actually build up to 2026, and there will need to be perhaps particularly a focus for the autumn of 25 of preparing for 26
yep.
and and doing perhaps an emphasis on training in personal evangelism. It can be an opportunity, as you know, we're going to be part of this mission, let's do some training. Now if that's going to be happening in the autumn of 25, then leaders probably need to be thinking about that in the sort of the summer term of
that
20,
will soon come around
24
it? !=
It soon comes round.
Yeah.
I
can see that. Let's just talk about different contexts, because I think one of the things that Live 22 especially freed us up to do was to think carefully about what was context appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So as it happened, I mean, I enjoyed going along to a jazz evening with, I think it was with Rico. I'm worried now that it wasn't with Rico when I went along to my jazz evening in 2010. But I remember thinking, I'm at a working class church in the East End of London. It doesn't really resonate. So we took one or two people along, but it wasn't really a big thing for our church. So actually the idea of making it appropriate for your church context, I think is really exciting. That's a good thing to do. That doesn't mean you can't do things with others, does it? How does that combination of local collaboration and yet thinking about your individual church, how does that balance map out?
So I think that will depend upon the context. I mean, so I think sometimes, so some churches are relatively isolated in terms of isn't another church nearby that they can particularly partner with it during the mission. And so I think some churches have sort of misunderstood the nature of the mission and think, well, if we can't do some sort of joint event, we can't be part of it.
Yeah,
that's not the case
at
all.
That's not what it is. Okay, let's be clear about that.
So even if you can't partner with anybody locally, you can still be part of the nationwide mission. Where there are nearby churches that you could partner with, you've got to think, actually, what's the partnership that will best serve the gospel? And it may be that putting on some sort of joint event where there's enough sort of commonality between the churches that there could be a joint event which would have an attraction and appeal to people that all of those churches have contact with. Or that might not be the case. And it might be that you do separate events, but you pray for one another. You build awareness of what is happening locally. And it may be that the contacts I have might actually be more attracted by the events that another church is doing than the ones that my own church is doing.
Okay.
And if I'm aware, so it might be that you are in that context where, you know, most of the contacts that you that Church A has wouldn't be attracted by a jazz evening, but those that Church B, they have contact with people who would be attracted.
Yes.
But
I'm not precious about jazz, by the way. It can work for all kinds of people.
And any other sort of event. But it might be that the person I know, event would appeal to them. If I know it's happening, I can take them along.
Yes. And that should be the driver. What's going to get someone else along rather than what I would like to go to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah. I can see that. And in fact,
just to say, I think another way that partnership can work is, so it's not always, doing a joint event is not always the best thing, but churches can share resource. So it might be that it's, maybe a church which is more resource rich is able to help other churches put on things that they wouldn't be able to do by themselves.
Yeah, okay. That's nice. Or I've got someone with a particular skill or story.
Yeah.
Which is powerful. We've got a professional opera singer in the church.
Yes.
Got a very interesting story. And actually, for another church, that might be interesting for them to have him along. Yeah. And I can see how that could work. And now talk to us about timings. I'm not sure if I should reveal this or not. I might get told off afterwards. So Live 2022, we waited until June. So we benefited from some of the training and praying and all the other things. But the event that we felt we could really get behind was a Jubilee Tea Party, which happened to coincide with June in 2022, and went well. We had a good time, and it was easy to invite certainly a certain segment of our town along to. It was an easy invite. It was, you know, from that point of view, worked really well for us. Is Life 26 and the Life Missions bounded in that way?
No, it's not bounded. So
I'm not going to get told off.
You won't get told off. No, we encourage churches. We said to churches with 22, do it any time of the year that suits you.
It's about a local church reaching out with the good news.
That's right. I think it helps for us to have a focus if we just sort of said something vague about, well, let's do something at some point.
We were a bit too late, Nick. That's the honest thing.
And the other thing for lots of churches, it was coming out of COVID. Churches were coming out of COVID at different rates.
Yes.
Some were ready for March 22, others not till autumn 22.
So let's talk a little bit more about the kinds of things that people did. So I'm interested to know what you did at Hayward Heath. Let's make it personal. So I've told you what we did in Market Harborough. We had a Jubilee Tea Party, which I think probably is a bit like a jazz evening. It's not for Republicans, that's for sure. But anyway, that seemed to us to work quite well. What went on in Hayward Heath?
We didn't do a huge amount.
Okay. Which is fine.
I try and remember exactly what. So there
I've
was
put you on the spot here. I didn't tell you I was going to ask that question.
No. So there was a sort of a sports quiz evening.
Okay.
That was very successful.
I mean, I hear about other people doing those. Are those relatively easy to put on?
Very easy to put on.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Simple answer.
And I'm sure there must be a how-to guide on the Passion for Life website.
There was also a podcast we've done actually with Christians in Sport on evangelism. And there you will discover the important answer that the reigning Olympic cricket champions of France. So that's one of your key questions for your sports quiz. Anyway, sorry, we're getting off track here. Other things you did at Hayward Heath, or things that you heard about that you thought maybe, I'd love to hear about some ideas that perhaps were innovative, but relatively simple.
Well, so I don't think we should necessarily leap to thinking about what's the sort of the special distinctive event that we could put on.
Okay, go and explain a bit more why that is.
So I think the first thing to think about actually is what are the things that we are doing every week or every month that could actually be part of the mission.
Right.
You know, so for some churches, it might simply be that they brand their Sunday services that month as being life events.
Right.
So you don't have to think in terms of what's this extraordinary effort that we need to do to be part of it, but can we take what we do every week or what we'll be doing that month, make it part of the mission and give it that mission focus and use the branding. And then I think for the ministries that exist within the church, the different groups, to be thinking, well, what could they do that might be a little bit different, that might be distinctive, that could be part of the mission. You know, so a toddler group could be thinking, what is some sort of event that we could put on for the toddler group parents and those that bring children along to the toddler group.
Yeah. How do we, do you think, Nick, connect leaders together? I'm not thinking about this all the time. It's one of the weaknesses, I think, of FIC. We're pretty good at connecting people geographically because that's fairly natural. You know, someone's down the road. And people will have mates that they've met at different stages. Maybe they went to college with them or they did a training course with them or whatever it may be. But actually, we need to be talking as church leaders, don't we, to people in a similar context.
Yeah.
So I'm in a market town, which is relatively rural. We're a market town surrounded by 99 villages, farming communities all around us. I've got more in common with another market town that's 200 miles away than I have with Leicester up the road.
Yeah.
So actually, in terms of thinking about evangelistic strategy, and especially thinking about what I might do with life, I need to be having conversations with those kinds of leaders, don't I?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, just thinking about if you know people who are in a similar sort of context in a different part of the country, just pick up the phone.
It's not so difficult.
Let's have a conversation. Yes. What are you doing? What's working for you? It might be that through a Passion for Life, we can facilitate some of that. We can perhaps hold some, set up some networks where people who are operating in similar contexts can meet together and consult with each other and learn from each other.
Mm. So what are some of the next immediate steps, do you think, for me as a church leader?
I think first is this a very simple step, get it in the diary.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good to hear. That's good to be reminded. Yeah. Yeah.
So plan for 25 with the mission in 26 in view.
Right. So that might be that you're planning a sermon series or a small group series or some training. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And if we think about the idea of sort of building up mission heat, in the life of the local church will sort of drive us.
If people haven't listened to other stuff you've done, what do we mean by that?
So our commitment to evangelistic mission, to making the gospel known in our communities, that is driven by our biblical convictions and our confidence in the gospel.
So turning up the temperature.
One of the benefits of having these times of mission is they can help us, I think, in turning up the temperature.
Yeah.
But thinking in 2025, how can we use the fact that the mission period is coming in 2026 to turn up the temperature under mission?
Right. Right.
And that might be in the way that we, choosing a sermon series that is going to help in that. Mm-hmm. It might be thinking about how we're going to be praying through 25. For ongoing evangelism and for the 26th mission.
Yep.
It might be beginning to talk in our churches about actually how can we be multiplying our contacts or deepening connection with the people that we already have contact with being in a better position to make best use of the mission period when it comes.
Yep.
What training can we be doing? So there's a whole thing. Lots of things that can be happening in 2025 with 26 in view.
Yes, it's not just a one-off thing, is it? And in fact, the strap line for 22 was, I'm not going to get it wrong, so I'm not even going to try and attempt it,
it was a month of mission.
Month of mission.
A lifetime of evangelism, a passion for life.
Good. I'm glad you could remember it. There are some resources, I've seen them knocking around, that just tell some of the stories from 2022 and kind of review. Are those on the website? Are they available? I can't remember if they're things you've sent me, Nick, or whether they're more widely available.
I'm trying to remember now what's on the website. What is on the website is there's a little documentary film.
Oh, right.
The story of Life 22.
Yeah.
So especially for churches that weren't part of it.
It's
if
a
they
great
want
little
to
watch.
Get
it's
a flavour of 22. Yeah. And it features three or four churches, shows what they did in Life 22.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So that's...
Well, we'll put the link for that in the show notes because that is a great little watch and will get you energised, I think. If you're thinking, I'm at ground zero, that will get a little church leader energised.
And I think one of the things that we'll try and do during 25 is actually just share some more of those stories from 22 just to encourage and inspire.
Great. Nick, thank you so much. Thank you for all the work you're doing. And I hope you've been energized listening and thinking. So start planning. Why not? And start praying. And as we said, it's a lifetime of evangelism, isn't it? It's not just 1 month. It's a lifetime. So bless you in your work. Thank you for joining us. This has been Independence, the FIC podcast. Do rate and review. It just helps people find us. And we'll catch up with you soon.